So the stats say, even in Canada, even in a secular culture, that the majority of people in our country pray on a regular basis. And since I'm speaking to a captive audience this morning who came here, I think, mostly under their own volition, I would say that you probably would answer positive to that question on a survey, that you pray on a regular basis. It may not be daily, but well, however you define regular, you would say, check that box, go, yeah, that's me. I pray. I believe in prayer. So my question is do you really? Do you really believe in prayer? And if you do you actually do it? I find it interesting that when you read the Gospels, the story of Jesus' life, there's one thing that the disciples ask Jesus about. One thing that they ask him to teach them. And it's how to pray. And as you read the New Testament, you realize that what Jesus taught the disciples and what Jesus modeled the disciples caught on. Because you have a group of men and women in the New Testament who firmly believe in prayer. And not just the aspect of doing it, but actually that God would answer them when they prayed. And so this morning, I want to look at a promise that is found in God's word that says this: God answers prayer. So if you have your Bibles this morning, just turn to Luke chapter 11. We'll be kind of looking at it in and out, so if you just keep your finger in there. I just want to start with verse 9 this morning. Verse 9 says this, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And he's talking about prayer. Ask, seek, knock. How are you doing on the asking part? When we talk about prayer, I think most of us assume that at some point you're asking God for something, right? You're asking God about something. You're asking God for provision. You're asking God for direction. You're asking God to meet a need. You're asking God as part of the conversation that you're having with him. Ask, and it will be given to you. Could it be that simple? Could it be that easy? That all we have to do is ask and it'll be given to us? Are there some other parameters that we need to be aware of? Or is it just ask and it'll be given to us? I think sometimes this verse has been taken out of context and taken out of biblical context and misused by people. And so let me just point you to another verse in the Bible. It's another time when Jesus is talking about prayer and talking about things. And he says in John chapter 15, verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Jesus adds a couple of things there in the asking part where you have to be in him and his words, God's words, the Bible, scripture has to remain in us. And basically he's saying that if you're in those two positions, that if you're walking with Jesus and if you're immersing yourself in God's word, whatever you're going to ask is going to be in line with what God would want for you. And so of course, God is going to give it to you. And even in Luke 11, and we're not going to look at it this morning, but if you even look back a few verses to the very beginning of the chapter, Luke 11 has the whole Lord's Prayer piece. And the Lord's Prayer is focused on what? Praying that God's will would be done on earth. Yes, that our provision would be happening on a daily basis, and our forgiveness of sins would happen, and that we could forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. All those things, if that's what we're asking for, of course God is going to answer us with those things. But could it be as simple as asking and God doing? You see, when I read this verse, ask, seek, knock, the impression I get of what God wants from us in our prayer life is this. He wants us to come to him with our requests. Too often, I think when we come to prayer, our mindset is not that we're asking God and requesting of God to do something. Oftentimes, we come to God with a bargain, right? God, I got a great discount for you today. If you do this, I'll give you at least half of this, right? I'll give you like half a week. I'll serve at soccer camp for half a week if you do this, right? Like, how can God turn you down? I love the Message translation of this section. In verse 10, Eugene Peterson says this, do not bargain with God. He's not saying don't ask, don't come to him and make your requests. He's just saying when you come to it, come with the proper attitude that when you ask God, just ask him. I think one of the things that stops us from asking God is that we think some of the things we need or even wish for are beneath asking God for. Some of the things that we would really like are just little things, and we don't think God would waste his time in granting a request. But the Bible says this, sometimes we don't get because we don't ask. James chapter 4. You do not have because you have not asked God. And there are some of you here this morning that need things in your life, and yet for some reason you've never asked God for them. You've never come to God and say, okay, God, I really would like this. You haven't even tried, and I'm not sure why. Sometimes the reality is we just don't ask God. But what would happen if we did? What would happen if we started to ask God even for the little things? There's this great story told by a missionary doctor in Africa. Happened a number of years ago, a couple of decades ago actually, well maybe more than a couple. And she shares an experience that she had there. She said, one night I had worked hard to help a mother who was in labor to give birth to her premature child. And the mother ended up dying in the childbirth process. And the mother also had a two-year-old daughter. And so when the mother passed away, the daughter obviously upset, crying. The baby is there. And they were going to have a hard time keeping the baby alive because they had no incubator. In fact, they had no electricity, even if they had one. So what they would normally do on this, and the country she was in, it was on the equator, they would normally go and fill up a hot water bottle with hot water and then wrap the baby up and put the hot water bottle next to the baby to keep the baby warm throughout the evening. And so she sent one of the nurse aides to run and get the hot water bottle and fill it up. And the nurse aide returned a few minutes later, distraught. She goes, I was filling up the rubber water bottle and it just cracked and broke. And that was our last one. What are we going to do? Now, unlike us, that we could go down to Walmart and buy a new one, there is no hot water bottles anywhere to be found in this little small village of Africa. And so the doctor said, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to wrap the baby, and your job tonight is to take that baby as close to the fire as you think is safe, and then to lie down next to that baby between you and the door. Because in the evenings, it still cools down at the equator, and there would often be a draft that would come under the door, so you got to protect that baby. The next day, the missionary went at noon to the orphanage, which was her practice, to spend some time praying with the kids. Whichever orphans wanted to come and pray, they would spend time praying at every noon at the orphanage. And so the doctor was helping the kids kind of work through some prayer requests. And so she shared what had happened the night before with this premature baby and the two-year-old that was crying. And they went into their prayer time. And as she was listening to the children pray, it came to a 10-year-old named Ruth, and it was her turn to pray, and this is what she prayed with her usual bluntness. Please, God, send us a hot water bottle today. It'll be no good tomorrow. as the baby will be dead. So please send it this afternoon. And the missionary kind of just went, wow, that's quite the prayer. And then Ruth added, and while you're at it, would you please send a dolly for the little girl so that she knows you really love her? As it is often the case with children's prayer, the missionary goes on to write, I was put on the spot. Can I honestly say amen and believe that God would do that? Oh, yes, she says, I know that he can do everything. The Bible tells us that, but there are limits, aren't there? I mean, the only way that God could answer this particular prayer would be by sending me a parcel from home. And I had been in Africa for almost 4 years and had never received a parcel. Anyways, if someone did send me a parcel, who would send a water bottle to the equator, a hot water bottle to the equator, right? Halfway through that afternoon, as she was teaching the nurses' training school, she got a message that there was a car at her door. By the time she got back to her house, the car had left, but sitting there on her front porch was what? You guessed it, a 22-pound parcel. She said, I could not open that parcel alone, so I sent for the orphanage children. And when they had gathered around, they pulled off the string and carefully undid all the knots and opened up the box. And as I started to pull out, 30 or 40 pairs of eyes were on me, she said. And she pulled out brightly colored knitted sweaters and or jerseys and gave them out to all the kids and then a few other things. And then as I put my hand in again, I felt it. Could it be? I gasped as I pulled it out, she said. Yes, a brand new rubber hot water bottle. She said, I started to cry. I had not asked God to send it, but Ruth had. And as soon as Ruth saw the hot water bottle come out of that box, she jumped up and ran and said, there must be a doll in there. And she reached in and pulled out a little doll. And then she said, can I go with you to give this to the little girl so that she knows that Jesus loves her? Here's the thing. That parcel had been sent to that missionary by her old Sunday school class. It had been packed 5 months earlier. And the teacher of that class, under the guiding of the Holy Spirit, had been obedient when God told her to send a hot water bottle with the package to the equator. And she did. I think sometimes we don't actually believe this verse because we don't actually ask for the things we need because we think they're too small. Or we don't think God would answer such a request. I think one of the things, the lessons in this little snippet of a verse is ask and it will be given to you. I think we need to be reminded that when God tells us that, I think what he's asking us to do is to ask specifically. So when we live out this verse in our prayer life, when we ask God for something, he actually wants us to get very specific. I think it's more than, you know, okay, God, be with my child. No, it's God, he's got a big test today. Can you help him? Just calm his nerves so he can write it. Or, can you just be with my daughter as she goes to hang out with her group of friends because there's one person there that's just a bad influence? Can you protect her? Or it's not just, God, help heal my marriage. It's, God, help me control my anger when my spouse makes me upset. I think some of the reasons we don't actually see requests are answers because we don't pray specifically. We have all these general requests, general things of God, and when we pray them, God often will answer them, and we don't even know he's answering them because we prayed so generally and he gives us a specific response and we miss it entirely. But if we are to pray specifically, I think we would be amazed at how often God answers our specific prayer requests. Jesus asked all the time, in case you're wondering. Jesus asked for bread to be multiplied. Jesus asked for the waves to be calmed down. Jesus asked for protection of the disciples. Jesus constantly was asking God for things. And he's our model. So church, we need to learn to ask God for the things in our life that we need, the things that we desire, the things that we believe God wants for us. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, seek. It seems to be a different thing. Not just ask, but seek and you will find. When you hear the word seek, there should be a couple of promises from Scripture that come to mind. There's a couple of things that the Bible tells us that are promises that when we seek. In the Old Testament, it tells us in Jeremiah 29:13 that when we seek God with our whole heart, what will we do? We'll find him. Actually, a little later on in Luke, he tells us that when we seek his kingdom first, he will provide everything we need. And in Hebrews, it tells us that God rewards those who earnestly, what him? Seek him. Seeking God seems to be an important thing, and it needs to be part of our prayer life. Because when I think of the word seeking, I'm thinking you're on a mission. You're trying to track something down. You want something, you know something, you need an answer, and you're not going to stop until you what? Find it. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, look, part of your prayer life needs to involve seeking, meaning that you don't just ask for it once and then give up. You don't just ask for it once on Monday and then, okay, God, I asked for it, then I'm going to stop. I think God honors us when we actually seek him in prayer. When we pray more than once about something. You see, prayer or seeking implies that there is action taking place, meaning that I don't just pray about it, but I'm doing other things in my life to try and get to the outcome that I've asked God for. There's movement in seeking. And I think that actually if we take this verse at heart to heart and we actually seek God for some of the things in our life, and we pursue after God, one of the things we will gain is a whole understanding of patience. Because when we ask God, sometimes his answer is what? Yes, right? Sometimes his answer is no. And the other times it's wait. And I think that's one of the things when Jesus says that we are to seek, he's implying that there may be some waiting involved. But that shouldn't stop us from seeking. That shouldn't stop us from pursuing God. It just means that we have to be aware that God doesn't just answer us all the time when we want to. He's not Aladdin, right? We don't go home and take our prayer lamp off the shelf and we go, okay, God, I'm seeking you. And then out pops Genie God and says, okay, what's your wish for today? That's not how it works. Jesus reminds us that there are times in our life when we are going to have to seek after God and we are going to have to do it in such a way that we do not give up because God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Jesus sought God. If you read the Gospels, you realize that when Jesus was forming his team of disciples, one of the things he did was spend some time praying and seeking God. Okay, God, who are the guys that I need on my team? Who do I need to have here? But then there are some times in our life where we have to ramp up the intensity of our prayer. And seeking just doesn't seem to describe what our reality is. And that's when Jesus comes along and says what? He says, knock, and the door will be open to you. What is Jesus talking about here? Jesus actually illustrates his own point if we go back a few verses. And if you look at Luke 11, verse 5, this is what Jesus says. Then Jesus said to them, he tells them a story. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call to me and I will answer you. The picture I get when I read these verses from Jesus is this. Sometimes there are points in our life where we have to come to heaven's door and just start knocking. God, I need you. God, I really need you. The picture we get here is not the picture most of us are used to in terms of knocking on a door. When is it we knock on a door? Usually it's when we've been invited over to someone's house for something, right? They are expecting us and we get to the door and the knock on the door is a polite knock on the door or it's a ring on the doorbell to what? Just announce that we are here. The company has arrived. The invitation is now fulfilled. That's not what Jesus is getting at with this story. What Jesus is getting at this story is that this knocking is an inconvenience to the homeowner. That homeowner is not expecting that knock. And that neighbor is coming over in desperation because he has no food and he has someone show up and Middle Eastern culture is you feed when someone comes over and he can't do that. So he's going to the one place where he knows there's food, his neighbor, and he's knocking and it's midnight and he's going, I don't care if you're in bed. I don't care if you have to get up. I don't care if you have to disturb the children. I need you right now. I'm going to keep knocking until you come to the door. And Jesus says, because of his shameless audacity, his willingness to jump out on someone else's behalf and try and do something for someone else, that person will respond. I don't know if we do enough knocking on heaven's door. And I don't know if it's because we don't believe God will respond, or maybe because we've knocked at some points in our life and God's answer was no, and we're afraid that his answer will be no again, so we don't do it, or his answer was wait, and we really hate waiting. But for whatever reason, oftentimes I think we fail to knock when we really should be knocking. Many of you know that my son Jaden, well, it's not just my son, Pam and my son, left last Saturday for 10 months of missions. And for any of you who've experienced the whole thing of a child leaving home for a period of time or forever, I mean, ultimately that's the goal, but you know how things work these days sometimes. You realize that if you've done your job well, there are things you can be proud about, but when it comes to the time of them actually leaving, there are things that you realize that you just sucked as a parent. And I came to that realization this week because one of the things for Jaden is he had to fly on an airplane, and he's flown on airplanes a lot, so this wasn't his first experience. But what it was his first experience flying on an airplane by himself. And there is a difference between going with your family on an airplane and mom and dad doing all the stuff, or going with a missions group and the leaders doing all the stuff, than when you got to do all the stuff. And let me tell you, his first stop is Montana. There is no direct flight from Vancouver to Whitefish, Montana. So there's a layover. And for those of you who know my experience in layovers this year, no, it was, for those of you who knew, it was terrible. Like, story for another time. So I'm sitting there last week, I'm going, I haven't prepared my son for this. I'm a terrible dad. So one day we're in the car running errands and I said, okay, Jaden, you know what? Are you okay to go through the airport? You know what to do? And we started talking through, you know, going through customs, going through layovers, going to the next desk and how to ask for help. And if something happens, what do you do? And then he said, Dad, it's okay. He goes, I'm not afraid to ask someone. He goes, I used to be. He goes, I used to be afraid to go and ask people for help. But Jaden worked in retail for a while. He says, one of the lessons I learned in working in retail was I always thought that when you're in a store and you're looking for something or you needed help, that it was a bother for the workers there that if you went and asked them, that they just they were so busy with other things that they didn't want to help you. He goes, when I got onto the, wore those shoes on in retail, I realized I loved it when people came and asked me for help because it made my day. It gave me something to do that was more than the boring routine of stuff and going to help them pass the day faster. He goes, after that realization, I have no problem going and asking for help from people. And I wonder if God is the same way. I wonder whether we don't knock on heaven's door because we don't think God actually wants to hear from us, or we're interrupting him, or he's got better things to do or worry about. When Jesus says, knock, and the door will be open. So he says, and if you don't believe me, look at verse 10. So he says all that, and then he says, for everyone who asks, receive, the one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. He says it twice, just in case you missed it the first time. He wants to make sure that you understand. Ask, seek, knock. And that's a perfect acronym. I couldn't have built it better. A-S-K, totally ask, right? Like that is the perfect prayer acronym for you who love acronyms, and I just don't do it very often, but there you go. For those of you who need to learn how to pray, ask. Ask, seek, knock. You heard earlier in the service that we had our soccer camp last week, and the great soccer camp. But we, this year, have spent a lot of time getting ready for it because we were changing venues, moving off-site. There were a number of things that had to go on. And so last Sunday, if you were here, you know that we dedicated last Sunday's service to really preparing our hearts and asking God to prepare the hearts of the kids and the community around us as we went into James Hill Elementary and the park there, and we were going to be a witness to our community. And we, at the end of last service, I had you fill out cards, and we had this board up here that you came and pinned them on, and there was just tons of cards pinned up there. And I gave you a number of options on what to pray for. Those were really just, each card represents a prayer, or several prayers with different things on it. And a lot of you prayed for John. His name came up several times on that board, and we had asked you to pray for him because he was going to be the key person giving the gospel message to the kids, and he did amazing this past week. I had a number of parents come and talk to me about how clear John's explanation of the gospel was to the kids. Just did amazing. And then part of what we did was we took time as a church to pray for the salvation of the kids at soccer camp. And on that board, as I counted up, okay, my daughter counted up some of the things on the board. She pulled out, I asked her to pull out all the cards that specifically just said, pray that kids get saved at soccer camp this week. And so she pulled them off. There was 19 of them. I believe God has a sense of humor. You want to know how many kids prayed to receive Christ for the first time this past week? 19. Isn't that amazing? This year we prayed for volunteers because we knew we needed more volunteers than we have ever had. In the last few years, it takes about 150 people to run a soccer camp. We needed more than that this year. And I don't have the final number, but I know that it's somewhere between 200 and 220 people helped out at soccer camp this year, which is just, I mean, we had some of them stand. That was like a tiny fraction of the amount of people that showed up for a day or all week or 3 days just to help out with soccer camp. One of the other things we prayed and asked God for was that we would have these spiritual conversations, not just with the kids, but with others as well. John had the opportunity to pray with the janitor of the school on one day. Others from the welcome tent had times to talk with people that were just walking through the park, wondering what was going on. We had a couple ladies who had home daycares come into the park, and they were using some of our bouncy stuff. There was a ton of spiritual conversations. There were coaches placed on teams that they didn't know all the kids, but some of the parents that came to pick up those kids, they knew. And they were able to make a connection. Only God could do that. And so what I'm saying really is that we prayed last Sunday that God would move in mighty ways, and he has. We asked, and God answered. And we should praise him for that. Because the reality is this: God answers prayer. He does. The hard part of that board that you saw up there is that there were a number of posts on there, a number of prayers that were prayers because of the result of pain. Some of them were asking God to heal broken relationships. Some of them were asking for physical healing of people. Some of them were asking to help God with some of the fears that they were having. And those types of prayers often take a long time for God to show up and answer. Those are the types of prayers where we need to seek after God. Those are the types of prayers where we need to knock so that the door will be open. And so if you were one of those people that put that type of prayer on the board, I encourage you to continue. Continue praying to God. Because I do believe God will answer you. He may not answer you exactly how you want it right now, but he will answer you. Because God answers prayer. Today, like we have for the last number of weeks, we're going to have our prayer team at the back of the auditorium during the last kind of worship song set. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that if you need prayer this morning, to go and pray with one of our prayer team. If you need to ask God for something, even if it's a hot water bottle, go and pray with someone and ask God for that hot water bottle. If you are seeking after God for direction in your life on something, why pass up the opportunity to pray with someone about that so that you can seek God together in that? And if there is something going on in your life where you are needing to pound on heaven's door, have someone pound on that door with you this morning. And pray with someone. I think oftentimes we come into a place like this on a Sunday and we feel God's presence move within us and speak to us, and yet we're afraid to take an action step of actually doing something about it and praying with someone about it because we think it'll make us look bad or make us look weak, or it'll be an inconvenience. When Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you, what he's saying there is, don't be afraid about inconvenience. Don't be afraid about persevering. And don't be afraid about asking. A friend of mine once said this to me: so often when we ought to ask God, we tell ourselves, we're okay. So often when we ought to seek God and his ways, we often think we know better. So often when we ought to knock on doors, we lock them instead, keeping help out. It's time to be shamelessly audacious in your faith and in your prayer life. What is your water bottle that you need to ask for today? What do you need to continue to persevere in seeking God after today? What do you need to keep pounding on heaven's door for today? Why aren't you? Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, because you are a God of your word. You are a God who answers prayer. And God, we bring you praise for what you have done over this past week in soccer camp. Lord, we thank you for those 19 kids that we know of who made decisions to invite you into their heart, to invite your love into their life, to invite you to make them a new creation. Lord, we pray that you would surround them now with your love, and with others who can guide them. Lord, as we try and follow up with them, give us success in that. Lord, I thank you for all those volunteers that listen to your voice prompting, telling them to serve, and then being obedient, and going in and serving you, and serving the kids of our community and our community itself. Lord, you are a God to be praised because you do answer prayer. So Lord, I pray that you will give our people here this morning a boldness to ask, to seek, and to knock, and that you will show up mightily in their life when they do those things, fulfilling the promise that you have given us in your word. Because God, you do answer prayer. Amen.